Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I thank the Lord you're able to join me today. If you're a new listener, I welcome you in Jesus' name and pray that you'll be blessed by this teaching we've been going through on the temple of the living God. If you would like to ever rehear a broadcast, you can just go to www.unveilchrist.org and at your convenience anytime rehear or hear a broadcast that you've missed. But we were looking that in the Word of God that there is a beautiful type and example, if you will, of God's wonderful plan of salvation expressed in the temple of the Old Testament. It's really a type of the individual believer in the body of Christ. And as we looked at what went into building the temple, we saw there were several points we looked at. The thought originated with God, and of course, God, He chose us. Jesus said, "You've not chosen me, but I've chosen you." The foundation was laid by God. In other words, both the place was chosen by Him, Mount Moriah. The Lord told David where that was to be, and his son Solomon built the temple according to divine specifications. And we see that there's no other foundation that no man can lay, and that is except that which is in Christ Jesus. The material was unfit to begin with, and they had to prepare the stones. They had to dress or square them for putting them in the temple. And of course, we know that we've been washed, sanctified, and justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by His Spirit. Some of the materials were won in battle, and we see that in 1 Chronicles 26:27, it says, "Out of the spoils won in battles did they dedicate to maintain the house of the Lord." And of course, we see that the Lord triumphed over all the works of Satan. He triumphed over them openly, the scripture says, and he fought that supreme battle against the forces of hell and won, and because of that, we now can walk in victory. Also, point number five, we see there was a great variety of materials in the temple: gold, silver, brass, wood, stone, and we see today the body of Christ is many-membered. There's many different types, but there's only one head. Now let's go on and look at the sixth point I'd like to share with you, that the stones were prepared beforehand. In 1 Kings 6 and 7, this is the Revised Standard Translation, "When the house was built, it was with stone prepared at the quarry, so that neither hammer nor axe nor any tool of iron was heard in the temple while it was being built." And now a New Testament reference is found in 1 Peter 2 and 5. As where the word says, "Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to the Lord Jesus Christ." And Ephesians 2 and 1 says, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin." So he first quickened us, did he not? And now, in other words, we were prepared, we were saved, and now we're being built up into the tabernacle of the Lord. Praise God. So just as they had to prepare that stone before it became part of the temple, so the Lord prepares us. He doesn't take unsaved people and put them in the body of Christ. No, they have to be prepared. They have to be quickened. They have to be willing to accept the headship, not just Jesus as Savior, but the lordship and the headship of Jesus Christ. Now let's go on to the seventh point. They were fitly framed together. All of those stones, in a wonderful, beautiful way, they were placed together very carefully according to sound principles of physical construction. And according to Ephesians 2:22, we are builded together, not according to our own design. God puts us in the body as He wills, but as we are placed in the body by the Lord, we become an habitation for God. We are all one in Christ Jesus. Praise God. And the final point I'd like to share with you regarding the building of the Old Testament temple, making a parallel to us as individual believers, is that the temple was built according to a divine pattern. And of course, this is that I'm sharing in 1 Chronicles 28:12. It's a reference to David. It says, "The plans, moreover, included all that came by the Spirit who was with him." That's referring to David. And beloved, Christ is the image of the invisible God, and He is the, and we as believers are created anew after the image of Christ. Galatians 2:20 says, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me." Praise God. So there's some beautiful parallels we see in the Word of God, that even as God, just in a very natural way, ordered the physical construction of a literal temple, so God deals with us. You see, His beautiful patterns, His themes are the same. There's a marvelous, marvelous harmony in the Word of God. All right, let's move on now to why did God want a temple? What was the purpose of the temple? There was a reason, and I'd like to share 7 reasons with you. First of all, it was to be a habitation of God. We see that in Exodus 25:8. He said He wanted a tabernacle to dwell among the people of God. And beloved, we've been saved, not just to be saved, but to be a spiritual house indwelt by God. And the temple was a place in which God walked. He inhabited that place. Just as God walked with His people in the tabernacle of old in the wilderness, so today, in grace, He desires to walk with you and me. Ye are the temple of the living God. 2 Corinthians 6:16 says, "And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols?" Referring to us. What do we have to do with anything unclean, anything false? "For ye are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people." So it's the habitation of God, the place where God fellowshipped, where He walked, and it's also, obviously, a place of holiness. Now, what does it mean to be holy? Well, holy means to be set apart to the service of God, spiritually pure and without blemish. And of course, we know that is true of the Lord, because the Lord does give us a man. He says, "Be holy, for I am holy." And in Psalm 93:5, this is our heritage, beloved. "Thy testimonies are very sure," referring to the Lord. "Holiness becometh thine house, O Lord, forever." So if holiness becomes His house, or is appropriate and appealing and attractive in His house, which it is, it's becoming, surely holiness becomes His saints in whom He dwells. And beloved, we are already holy. Why? Because we are set apart to the service of God, and the righteousness we have is not our own, but it's the righteousness of Christ Jesus. He's clothed us with His righteousness. So it's a place where God dwells. It's a place of holiness. And also, fourthly, it's a place of peace. This is a lovely thought. Haggai 2:9 says, and this is referencing that latter house. I mean, he was speaking about the former house to the people of, through the prophet Haggai, speaking to the people of that day. But he goes on to say in Haggai 2:9, "The glory of this latter house shall be greater than that of the former. And in this place will I give peace, saith the Lord of hosts." So, beloved, those of us who are indwelt by the Spirit of God have our hearts filled with the peace of God. That is, you know, where God is, there is peace. And if at any time we, you know, allow the enemy to bring the cares of life, the pressures, doubts, fears, all those sorts of things within us, well, God still hasn't left, but our experience is not one of peace. That's why we need to keep our mind stayed upon him, because the word says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed upon thee. And now, fifthly, the purpose of the temple was that it was to be a place of strength and beauty. And that was such a majestic temple that Solomon had built. It was a wonder of the world. In Psalm 96 and 6, David declares, honor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. And beloved, how can that apply to us? Well, we've got strength of character and beauty of life. That's characteristics of all who are filled with the Holy Spirit. They are strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. That's what Ephesians 3:16 says. Also, now we know it's a place where his glory was revealed. Praise God. 2 Chronicles 5:13 and 14. I've always loved this. It says, it came even to pass, as the trumpeters and singers were as one to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. And when they lifted up their voice, saying, for he is good, referring to the Lord, of course, for his mercy endureth forever, that then the house was filled with a cloud, even the house of the Lord, so that the priests could not stand to minister by reason of the cloud. Praise God, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house of God. Praise God. Now, that's what I'm longing for in these days, that God's presence can so come down among us, we'll experience that same magnificent presence, manifest presence of God. In Haggai 2:7, the Lord says, I will fill this house with glory. And in Zechariah 2:5, he says, he will be the glory in the midst of her. Praise God. What a beautiful, beautiful example of what God desires to do. And then a final scripture on this point, Ephesians 3. Let me read Ephesians 3:17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of God, which passes knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Praise God. Well, I see my time is coming to a close, and I need to bring this broadcast to a conclusion. Thank you for listening. The announcer will give you our contact information. And until next time, this is Sister Glass saying, may God best forever be yours, is my prayer.
Well, this has been the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Sister Glass. Thank you for spending time with us. We pray it's been a time of ministry and encouragement for you. If you would like to write to Sister Glass, there are a couple of ways you can do so. You can write and address your envelope to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code, or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop Sister Glass an email. Again, write to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho, 83606, or send her an email through our website, unveiledchrist.org. And please remember that your prayers and tax-deductible support allow this ministry to continue on this station. Until next time, God bless.